Talk Live. It is your show, and you can bring up anything. Just dial the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark. And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features we give away. So enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. Shows about your calls. We go right to them. We'll start with Tony in California. Tony, you're on Free Talk Live.
How's it going?
Hey, what's on your mind tonight, Tony?
Hey, I was just listening to your conversation with Scott, but I don't think I heard the whole thing. It's on the podcast. But he started talking about Zionists and anti-Semitics. And so I wanted to make a comment about that. I don't think he brushed on this point. And I only know a little bit about this stuff, but apparently the thing with the Zionists is that these are descendants from the Khazars. And so you've got some kind of difference there between Jews that lived in Israel 2,000 years ago and the ones that converted to Judaism in around year 800 or something like that. So there's some background to that.
Okay, I'm not really sure if that's relevant to what Scott was saying last night. Scott,
and what was he saying?
He was basically saying that he believes, in this grand conspiracy that the Jewish people control the world and they're all evil and that they wield power differently than other people wield power. And he was just a bigot. I mean, he was just using the Zionist cover for his bigot.
I'd have to agree with you there. I mean, I think he did get a bit extreme, but I mean, I still don't like shut the stuff out. So basically, my point is, when we're saying anti-Semitic, the Semitic people are actually people like the ones in Gaza.
Right.
So that's the difference.
Semitic people are of Arab descent, and it's
right.
But today, the way we use the term, it's used in modern English to mean a person that hates Jews.
I think it's wrong. I think it's incorrect.
I, for one, have never used the term.
It is an incorrect.
Neither have I. Yeah, but I mean that's what's put out there. And by the way, I do know somebody from Israel who's probably more on the Arab side of descent, and he told me, he actually shocked me, because he told me that if you want the problems to go away over there, that the state of Israel pretty much needs to go away. Now, I don't really have any I need to do some more research before I think about that kind of stuff. But like kind of like the media, whips this stuff up, and I've seen interviews. There's a lot of Jews that are against Zionism, so check it out. I don't know too much about it.
Right, but then the guy that we were talking to last night believes that everybody who is Jewish is all the same, and
Jews are bad.
He just wants them all into the same group.
And he's a bit extreme.
Zionism is what a person thinks, and I will tell you that I do think that people that think certain things, like socialists, for instance, they've got a bad philosophy. So Zionism may very well be a bad philosophy. It sounds like a philosophy that wants to take land away from other people without paying for it, and that's wrong.
Yeah.
So I'm against that. However, the term Zionism is often used as a cover for people that just dislike a particular race of people, and you can't make a generalization about a particular race, about a race of people, and say that all these people do this, because that's not true.
On the other side of it too, there are a lot of people who criticize Israel who are accused of being anti-Semitic. When I think anybody has to be able to criticize a country if they disagree with them. They may love the rest of what they do, but that's illogical and silly to accuse someone of that hot button word just because they disagree with it with Israel.
It's a hot button word, and it's kind of it kind of shuts conversations down.
Yep.
Sort of
Thank
like
you,
other things.
Appreciate the call tonight. Really
nice.
Appreciate hearing from you. 800-259-9231. We go to Ziggy in the UK across the pond. Hello, Ziggy.
Hi, I want to pay tribute to a libertarian hero who died today.
Oh, who's that?
Patrick McGoohan.
Patrick McGoohan, isn't that the guy from Star Trek?
No, he's the guy who is best known for his character portrayal of Number 6 in the series The Prisoner.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know Gardner Goldsmith is a big fan of that.
The concept for The Prisoner, which is the most libertarian television show ever.
Cool.
On the surface, it's a spy thriller about spy who resigns, and you don't know why he resigned. He's kidnapped and taken to this place called The Village, and the setup is that every week they try to extract why he resigned. And so basically you've got the individual versus authority, and along the way he dealt with issues such as education, democracy, war, ostracism, rendition, use of drugs, everything is in there.
Now, was Patrick McGoohan, I mean, he was the creator of the series or the actor? I missed that point.
He was both.
Oh, wow.
He developed the concept and he was the lead actor.
About that. So he really did, he wasn't just acting a part, he really did believe in the ideas of freedom.
Yeah, and later on in his career, he's probably for those who are a bit younger, if anyone's seen Braveheart, he played Edward Longshanks.
Well, very good.
Was that the dad?
Just one quick comment about Scott. I almost ran up and said that I was going to get my chums from the Zog government to come and pay him a visit. It's completely ridiculous. It really is.
Yeah, he was...
Scott the bigot.
He was... well, you know, we... On Free Talk Live, we let other opinions be heard.
I applaud Ian for doing that because you give them enough rope and they'll hang themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And he hung himself nice and high.
But Zionism, what Zionism really means is Jewish nationalism or for the greater Israel. In other words, there are Jews who want Israel to go from the Mediterranean to the Euphrates.
Okay.
That's what Zionism is.
Yeah, that's a long ways.
Thank you, Zig, for the call tonight. Appreciate it. 800-259-9231. I mean, there are people in the Middle East that they've been fighting for generations. I don't claim to know what all the ins and outs are of the situation over there, but I do know that I don't think that the United States federal government should be involved at all. I mean, that's my easy cop-out answer.
It's an easy cop-out answer.
Because I don't know what's going on in Africa either. You know,
I understand
where
you're coming from, but the people... Do you think that the people of Africa and the people of the Middle East deserve freedom?
Sure. Everybody does if they want it.
So, you know, do we not advocate for freedom?
Yeah,
do we not give... we give solutions for freedom on this show?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
The solutions for freedom need to apply in those places, too. You know, we had Scott Horton on to talk about the Middle East problem a couple of nights ago, and I think that, you know, he gave a couple of good solutions for, you know, like the next step solutions, either the one state or the two state solutions, which is, the fact is Israel hasn't given the Gaza Strip and the West Bank to the Palestinians because they've continued to settle it with more and more sort of right-wing settlers that you have to be a pretty tough hombre to go into this territory. And, well, so it's not their country. They're not sovereign. So there's a two-state solution, Palestine and Israel, or the one-state solution, which is give the Palestinians citizenship in Israel. There are already Muslim citizens. You don't have to be a Jew to be a citizen of Israel. So those would be the two ways that I would advocate. They should be at least treated equally.
Toll-free number here, 800-259-9231. Mark, you've got an update on the BART cop. We talked about this, I think it was last week, where a transit cop in San Francisco, I believe it is, was caught on multiple cell phone video recordings shooting a man in the back who we believe was handcuffed at the time. And he was certainly under control. There were four officers present to deal with this one guy. And two of them were dealing with the guy. The other two were standing aside. One of the two who was dealing with him pulls out his firearm and just plugs the dude in the back. Shoots him in the back in front of a whole crowd of onlookers, many of whom, thankfully, had their cell phone cameras recording and caught this.
Now, the gentleman, the officer, said that he thought that he had used, that was pulling his taser. His taser
gun. Did he say that? I think that was the police chief that was speculating on what might have happened.
Okay, well, that was the excuse that was given.
Yeah.
And it seems plausible to me, you know, in the heat of things going on, that this thing that's shaped like a pistol, although lighter, and it does have a funny colored tip, that, you know, he could have pulled that and thought that that's what he was doing. I don't think that necessarily tasing some guy that has handcuffs on is a good idea. I mean,
no, he was way over the line.
And I do think that you or I or Wayne, if we had done this and this, you know, and not been a police officer, that we'd be charged. And so, therefore, I think that he needs to be charged. And I believe that police, you know, when they are found guilty of violating of doing crimes, need to get heavier sentences than in you know, regular citizens do.
Well, whether he'll get a heavier sentence or not is still remain to be seen. However, he has been charged with something. We'll get back to that here, give you the latest in the BART case here in moments. 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can bring up whatever's on your mind at 1-800-259-9231. This is Free Talk Live.
Now, a revealing glimpse into the life of one of our most celebrated yet private novelists, Don Grisham, author of the masterful new legal thriller, The Associate. Mitch McDear, straight out of Harvard Law, goes to work for The Firm. Kyle McAvoy, straight out of Yale Law, becomes The Associate. What was John Grisham's university experience like? He says, I grew up in a very small, close-knit Southern Baptist family where everything was off limits, so I couldn't wait to get to college and have some fun. And I did for the first 2 years. And I regret a lot of it because my grades were in terrible shape. He attended three different colleges, studying economics, then accounting, and finally criminal law. John Grisham earned his Juris Doctor from the University of Mississippi in 1981, moved back to South Haven to open his own practice, and began his illustrious career. To learn more, visit jgrisham.com. If you thought Mitch McDear was in trouble in The Firm, wait until you meet The Associate. Kyle McAvoy is a brilliant young attorney, a rookie associate at the world's largest law firm, but he also has a dark secret, one that falls into the wrong hands. He's coerced into taking part in a scheme that could send him to prison or get him killed, making his first case his last. The Associate, John Grisham at his pulse-pounding, page-turning best. Available now, wherever books are sold.
Wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold, hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
Less is more. I want you to think of Life Change T as, well, a 2008 Ferrari 612. The Ferrari 612 is a two-door, four-passenger luxury car that gives an exploding 540 horsepower through its 6-liter V12. It has a top speed of 199 miles per hour and can accelerate 0 to 60 in about 4 seconds. Life Change T will accelerate your life into feeling more energy, losing weight, and cleansing toxins out of your body so you'll live longer. And guess what? You can accelerate your life without a Ferrari 612 sticker price of $318,000. You can buy green tea for less, but unfortunately, it's just another daily driver with no performance. So for just about a dollar a day, you can drive the Ferrari of teas. Don't be fooled by size. Check our website out at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Remember Life Change Tea. Less is more.
IonicZone.com has the best prices on commercial shock treatment ozone generators starting at $299. But did you know IonicZone.com also sells a water ozonator that's a must-have for anyone interested in good health? It's true. The IonicZone Digital Water Ozonator features an air intake and can be fed dry air through the supplied air dryer or pure oxygen via an oxygen tank. Ozone-fortified water can be used to kill bacteria, sanitize food, produce, and eliminates bacteria in the mouth by gargling, which helps prevent bad breath and even heart disease. The optional ozone bidet attachment is used for personal hygiene, which can kill the bacteria down below that can lead to irritation. It's amazing what 3 atoms of oxygen can do. Call Ionic Zone today at 1-800-549-9535. That's 1-800-549-9535. Or visit them on the web at IonicZone.com. That's IonicZone.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. Dial the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features we give away, and those features include the bulletin board system with over 400,000 posts. That's a lot to talk about. Serious issues to fun stuff. You'll find it all free over at bbs.freetalklive.com. That is bbs.freetalklive.com.
If you're thinking about starting a new business, here's a word to the wise, incorporate at LegalZoom.com. Incorporation can help protect you against frivolous lawsuits that could wipe you out. LegalZoom.com is both fast and easy. They do all kinds of legal documents. It doesn't have to be incorporation. It doesn't have to be for business. They do patents, wills, trademarks, LLCs, living wills, living trusts. LegalZoom.com. Use code FTL. Save $10 off your order. That's LegalZoom.com.
All right, so we continue here with an update on a story we covered last week about the BART officer, transit cop, who shot a man in the back. A man was being subdued by the police. He did not seem to be overtly, unusually resistant.
Right, he was upset about getting arrested, and he felt that he shouldn't be, and those kind of
things. He was making his case. He had his hands in the air as he was talking to the police. They brought him down to the ground, and it appeared as though they had cuffed him or were in the process of cuffing him when one cop stands back, pulls his firearm, and shoots the man in the back. He's dead now. And apparently, the cop has been arrested, which is kind of a shock.
I must say that I'm surprised.
What's the news here, Mark? Do you have this story?
Well, from CNN, a former transit police officer accused of shooting an unarmed man at a Northern California commuter train station, doesn't mention in the back, has been arrested and charged with murder, an Alameda County District Attorney said Wednesday. What I feel the evidence indicates is an unlawful killing done by an intentional act. District Attorney Tom Orloff told the reporters at a news conference. So old Tom's getting a little little press coverage out of his enforcer here. Mm. You know, I like that. It doesn't happen enough.
No, it doesn't. Usually these guys get a slap on the wrist at worst, and they're turned right back out into the streets. That's typically what happens. But typically there are not three video cameras surrounding the police when they commit their acts of abuse. Usually we hear it from a witness who happened to be there, and it's just their story versus the police.
Right.
In this case, there was hard video evidence from at least three different angles. And I don't even know if there were cameras in the transit area that they could look to as well. There may have been actual installation kind of cameras there.
And now that he's been charged, they'll use those as evidence. You can't always count on the authorities to use their own to release their own video. So
this is really unusual in that there were a lot of cameras around, and I think that completely changed how the police and in this case the district attorney had to approach this. They just couldn't brush this one under the rug as they normally do. And so I believe it's more evidence that the camera, specifically the video camera, is the most powerful weapon that activists have against the police. And I don't just mean activists. I mean anybody has against the police. Thank goodness that subway platform had the train on it at that point. They had actually held the train, as I understood it. So it's a good thing they made the authoritarian move of holding the train from continuing so all those people could stand right there and witness this thing happen.
Yeah, it was lucky for, I guess it's not lucky for anybody.
Not lucky for the man that's dead or his family, but at least there may be some justice in this case.
From the evidence we have, there's nothing that would mitigate that to something to a lower than murder, he added. The murder charge was the appropriate charge given the state of the evidence. Former Bay Area Rapid Transit officer Johannes.
That says to me that when they took a look at the evidence, Mark, they made a very determination that this guy could not have confused this with his taser, as the police chief was suggesting.
Could be. All I want to do is give that if there's a reasonable doubt, then let's go with the reasonable doubt. I haven't been presented the evidence. I think that the guy should be charged, and that's all. 27, the officer, 27.
True, he hasn't been convicted.
Was arrested Tuesday evening in Nevada. He went to Nevada, said Orloff. He waived extradition, and police officers were transporting him back to California on Wednesday. I don't know that I would waive extradition, but maybe. Orloff said, I don't know this guy's name. Mess Surley's attorney has invoked his client's right to remain silent. In terms of an interview at this point in time, our hands are tied. Mercelli was arrested on a fugitive warrant charging homicide in Nevada.
So there you go.
Yeah, he was accused of shooting Oscar Grant III at an Oakland, California station on New Year's Day. The incident was captured on video by several witnesses and spurred violent protests in Northern California City. So there you go.
So we'll keep an eye on that particular case, hopefully, and bring you anything as it develops. 1-800-259-9231. So we continue here, and let's look at a different area of government abuse, one that we really don't cover very often on this program. There are plenty of examples of state agents, just like the one we just talked about, hurting people, killing people, destroying people's property, and getting away with it. Plenty of examples. I mean, we talk about them every single week on this program, but what about animals? How does the state treat animals? You know, those lost little puppies and kitties that are out there and get picked up by the animal control officer and taken back to whatever state animal control facility might happen to be in the area. What are things like in those buildings, in those bureaucracies? I mean, we know from looking at the evidence of government bureaucracy, we know that they don't have an incentive to do things very well. We know that they don't do things efficiently. We know that the bureaucrats, even though they might be real nice to their friends and family, when they're in their role as bureaucrats, since they're completely insulated from any sort of consequences, for the most part, for their actions, they don't really treat people with much respect. But what about a cute little doggy? How do they handle them? Well, the Columbus Dispatch at dispatch.com has done a little bit of digging. Zealously determined that fewer dogs should die, the Franklin County Animal Shelter harbors sick and vicious dogs and then offers them as pets to unsuspecting families. Mm-hmm. These conclusions, outlined in a report by the Ohio State University College of Veterinary Medicine, portray a shelter riddled with mismanagement, rife with disease, and crippled by overcrowding. In September of 2007, OSU severed a 9-year relationship with a county that provided surgery and treatment worth $55,000 annually. Officially, the university wanted to train its students at the Capital Area Humane Society, which also offers cats, but internally, OSU had serious concerns. 7 OSU vets said shelter managers had dismissed their concerns, overruled their professional advice, and illegally altered dogs' medical records. In the years since, conditions have changed. It's gotten worse, said Dr. Jeanette O'Quinn, who taught shelter medicine and surgery when OSU students were at the shelter. She continues to work through a private surgery contract at the dog pound, and she says that we are worried we're on the brink of a disaster. Such concerns come as the county prepares to spend $18 million on a brand new dog shelter on the site of the former wherever. The new shelter will provide modern ventilation systems to better control the spread of disease and an inviting environment to lure more adoptive families. In a letter sent to commissioners in September, 2 veterinarians say management problems troubling the current shelter will merely move to a new, prettier address. That letter, which charges continuing mismanagement, prompted a commissioner to call for an outside evaluation of the shelter. We're going to get to some of the details from the OSU report on exactly what was going inside this government animal shelter. 800-259-9231. So the next time you call for the state to take care of little beasts that are running around in the streets, just think about what you're doing. We'll get to the details here in moments. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. This is Free Talk Live.
Are you one of the millions of people who make New Year's resolutions? Are you also one of the millions who wind up breaking those resolutions? Would you like to keep at least one of those resolutions this year? Well, right now, success is one click away. Let this be the year you are going to protect yourself year-round. Pepperspray.com can help keep you safe by offering you the largest assortment of pepper spray and other personal safety devices on the web. Check out our monthly specials, as well as receiving a 10% savings by using coupon code GCN when you shop at pepperspray.com. Be proud of yourself this year for taking the biggest and easiest step in self-defense and shop pepperspray.com or call 1-800-908-9988. That's 1-800-908-9988. Pepperspray.com wishes you and yours a safe and happy 2009.
Break the law and you're caught on film.
Practically impossible for police to spot plates that have been treated with the reflective spray.
The reflection blinded our camera.
We are under the microscope. Red light cameras and speed cameras are in place to make money, not for your safety. But you don't have to be defenseless against these unconstitutional devices. Have a fighting chance with SprayYourPlate.com's photo blocker. When properly applied, this revolutionary product has proven itself to be the most effective device available against traffic cameras. Invisible to the naked eye, your license plate, when flashed, will be overexposed and unreadable to the cameras. Save your money. Go to SprayYourPlate.com. That's SprayYourPlate.com. And check out the newscast showing the photo blocker in action, proving that the Spray Your Plate's photo blocker works against traffic cameras. Go to SprayYourPlate.com or call 1-800-276-9601. That's 1-800-276-9601. Don't give your money to the state. Spray Your Plate. And when the cameras flash, you'll save some cash.
Gentlemen, I know you need no reminder that Valentine's Day is right around the corner. Obviously, you have the perfect gift in mind. Well, just in case you might know someone that may need some gift ideas, tell them about EnduringRose.com. We all know that flowers are a woman's favorite gift, but they only last a short time. EnduringRose.com has taken this gift and made it into one that will endure and last forever. Dipped in 24-karat gold, these real roses, single rose, or bouquets preserve your message of love for a lifetime. You can also shop for other ridiculously romantic gifts like jewelry and adorable stuffed animals. You can't go wrong at EnduringRose.com. Oh, and tell them there's a military discount and they can get free shipping on qualified orders. That website again is EnduringRose.com. EnduringRose.com. Or call 702-453-7455. That's 702-453-7455.
Doctors around the world claim that cancer and other diseases cannot live in a pH-balanced alkaline environment. But as you know, most people are overly acidic due to stress, acidic diet, and lack of exercise. pH balance is the foundation of energy abundance and perfect health, as well as prevention of disease. People who alkalize the water they drink experience normalized blood sugar, mental clarity, and loss of weight. It was intended for human beings to drink alkaline water, but due to modern way of life, most people are overly acidic. The fact is that disease simply cannot exist in an alkaline environment. Fat accumulates if a person consumes too much acid on a regular basis and doesn't neutralize it. Do your part. Alkalize and supercharge your body now. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops contain a special mineral salt concentrate that raises the pH of the water you drink up to the pH of 10 with only 10 drops. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops now by going directly to alkavision.com. Again, that's alkavision.com.
This is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. Toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's 1-800-259-9231, and you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are completely free, so enjoy those on us. And those features include the archives. If you've missed a moment of the show, just click and download. They're right there on the front page of the website, totally free for you. And they go back for an entire year at freetalklive.com.
Did you know that over 35% of IT admins admit to snooping through their boss's email? Shouldn't your business email be secure? PrivacyHarbor.com is an email alternative that's both private and confidential. Guaranteed. PrivacyHarbor.com, because normal email is not secure. You can go over there and get a free account today at PrivacyHarbor.com.
800-259-9231. So what happens when government, which is famous for its mismanagement, runs an animal shelter? Well, we're finding out from Dispatch.com, the story from the Columbus area, where according to a OSU, Ohio State University report, they had a partnership for 9 years with the state, providing veterinary services to the state's shelter for a significant amount of money every single year. I mean, they were giving the services to the state, basically, from what I understand. And the vets that had been working there had continually complained about the conditions that these animals were being kept in. They had complained about the what they call mismanagement of this animal shelter. Of course, as all good government bureaucracies do, the animal shelter is expanding. They're getting larger. They're building a brand new multi-million dollar facility, $18 million. And as the OSU reports, that's just, all it's going to do is just transfer an inefficient bureaucracy that's putting animals in danger and putting families in danger to a larger building. Nothing's going to change as far as the management style is concerned, and why should it? It's the government. They don't have any incentive to do anything right. So what is it that they're doing? Well, according to the story here, by the way, there was one of the city commissioners that went for called for an outside evaluation of the shelter. She had nothing but praise to say for the shelter. She said, "My overall experience with the animal shelter is it's a very wonderful, compassionate place where there are different philosophies. I believe we need an external quality review that's objective, one that takes into account there can be different views, but gets this situation resolved. We need to make sure the public is safe and care for the animals is compassionate. Dogs that bite or attack other pets are given a clean slate, say OSU's experts. Now, again, you're looking at what a commissioner said, a county commissioner who's probably not an expert in much of anything in regards to animals, compared to multiple veterinarians who work for the college. Who are you going to trust?
The people that work for the college.
Yeah. So the OSU's document says that dogs that bite or attack are given a clean slate, and that they their adoptive families are not always warned. A program to screen dogs for behavioral problems.
Holy crap. They don't tell people.
That's right.
That the dog bites.
That's right. They're covering up vicious animals and adopting them out to people.
You know, the Humane Society here, and I don't know how connected it is with the government, but as far as I'm concerned, most humane societies are far too connected with the local governments. I went to adopt a dog, and they told me, you know, some of the problems that he has. He was a food guarder, and that can be very bad with a you know baby running around. So we decided not to get the dog. Thank goodness they told us. This helps place the right dog with the right people. It was a good dog.
The people in the Humane Society are concerned with that. They want to make sure that the pets or the animals go into a home that's appropriate for them, and that the family's appropriate and the pet's appropriate for the family. It's an important part of what they do, is matching up the right people to the right pets. Apparently, the government shelter is just shoving dogs into people's arms and telling them that everything's okay when
Don't worry about it. It'll be fine.
In addition, they apparently a program that they had at one time to screen dogs for behavioral problems was disbanded more than a year ago. One of the vets from the college provided dozens of records that show dogs had been brought into the shelter for biting that were put back up for adoption. Return for biting child three times in face, a concerned employee wrote on one file for a 30-pound dog that had bitten a 9-year-old boy on the cheeks and chin, currently in foster for 2 years. Dogs are also being adopted out sick, sticking owners with expensive medical bills. Shelter vets fear that such parasites such as Giardia lamblia, which causes explosive diarrhea, will spread to healthy pets and people in the community. For a time last year, the sick dogs were left in adoption wards with red signs on their cages that said, "I have a tummy ache and I'm a strict cage rest." Other signs posted near the time clock warned employees, "Dog with red cards on cage have Giardia. Please clean last, then dump water and clean all tools. Wear gloves." So people feel sorry for the sick puppy and they reach in to pet him, and you've just spread Giardia, said the vet. The shelter is still overcrowded, but things have changed since the OSU report, said staff veterinarian. He says the shelter is healthier now than it's ever been. Dogs with Giardia are now being quarantined. The shelter is also unsanitary, according to OSU. Dogs are allowed to lounge around the shelter to socialize them, but the vets complained that urine and feces were everywhere, inside employee lunchrooms. Very recently, one vet wrote in the OSU report, "I walked into the women's restroom and there was a chihuahua wrapped in a towel sitting on a chair in there. There was no employee around to question. It was literally just sitting there staring at me." Dogs are suffering, stacked in small cages with little human contact or exercise for months on end, said the OSU report. Some stay on the county tab for food, boarding, and medical care as long as 3 years. The report says that in many cases, behavioral problems develop or worsen. I commonly saw muscle wasting. If animals were confined this way in homes or puppy mills, the owners could be charged for animal cruelty.
They would be charged.
But sovereign immunity.
Right, not the state, because there's really virtually nothing you can do about this. You can read this story, you can feel touched, you can feel outraged, you can feel upset, you can call your commissioners about it. But in the long run, there's really nothing you can do because you're being forced to pay for it. So you can disagree with the way they're treating these animals, and I can't imagine many people would agree with what these people are doing there. You can disagree with it, but that doesn't mean you can stop funding it. Now, when the Humane Society sends a letter to my house asking us to send them some money, it's completely my choice to send the Humane Society $100. It's up to me. And that's the way it should be. That's one of the reasons why the Humane Society cares about the animals that they take care of, because they have an image to uphold. They have a reputation, and their reputation is a good one. It's one that takes care of animals and helps them meet happy families. And if they don't do the right thing, people are going to get word that the Humane Society is abusing animals, and their contributions are going to dry up, and that's going to be it for them. But the state doesn't have that same incentive. They have none of it.
You know, we used to volunteer at an animal shelter down south, and the first thing they do if they think that a dog is aggressive is they actually separate them from the rest of the dogs. Mm-hmm. And they try to separate the dogs that are very adoptable from the ones that aren't or have a problem and try to ascertain whether or not they are a threat. And my kids used to actually walk them outside and try to get them adopted. They used to walk in parades with some of the dogs that were really nice dogs to try to get them adopted. My kids actually got a lot of dogs adopted because if you see a kid walking a dog that's up for adoption and the dog's licking the kids.
Looks safe. Sure.
But
when you have a family, it's the single biggest concern. Am I bringing an animal into my home that is going to harm my child?
That's right. Or protect it. Protecting it would be good.
Yeah.
For years, shelter employees have complained of a chaotic working environment and mistreatment by management. This is detailed in letters sent to the county's Human Resources Agency, resignation letters, and exit interviews. One of the former attendants who quit in late 2007 after working there 2 years said, "To this day, no one has called me." Her exit interview describes horrible working conditions, including kennel overcrowding and unprofessional supervisors. Another one, Denise Schuss, resigned as custodian back in 2007, saying, "I've never worked with people who are so rude and disrespectful." Sounds like any other government bureaucracy to me, except this one's taking care of animals. Joanne Baird wrote the county's personnel director in February that her life has been devastated financially, professionally, and emotionally by my short time at the shelter. I tried to deal with the rudeness, the inadequate training, the inconsistent rules and regulations, but the dogs are the ones who suffer most. I saw potential owners who were the most obvious dog lovers rejected on a regular basis for the most ridiculous of reasons. So not only were they just hooking some families up with dangerous animals, other people who the employees say they knew were dog lovers were just being rejected. Out of hand.
Sorry, you can't have that dog.
800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. There's more about this situation. You can bring up anything. This is Free Talk Live. 800-259-9231.
Wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the problem to return? Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect to your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home.
Call 888-629-9903 and sign up today. That's 888-629-9903.
My computer works. Does yours?
I am so frustrated. I can't seem to remember anything anymore.
What?
Seriously, my memory and attention span is terrible. I read something and forget. I forget people's names. I hear all this great information on the radio and I want to tell people, but I forget.
Okay, slow down. Poor attention and memory loss is not your fault. Factors like fluoride in the water, aluminum in deodorants, genetically modified foods, the way the education system taught you. It's all meant to dumb you down. You know, I can remember everything now, even entire books.
What? How?
There is this website called School of Phenomenal Memory. Their online course is a real breakthrough in the field of memory improvement. In fact, they guarantee that every single person will be able to memorize any type of information, including entire books, after they complete just 60 lessons. And they offer a no-questions-asked, no-time-limit, money-back guarantee.
Wow. What's the website?
Now, don't forget, it's pmemory.net. The letter P, memory.net.
Do you want to pay for the government bailout of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? You may have no choice. Obviously, taxpayers are on the hook for over $6 trillion. That's right, $1 trillion in mortgages held by these two corporations. The part that most people don't realize is that this bailout can have significant adverse effects on their 401ks and IRAs. Unless you're planning to help pay for this bailout with your personal retirement funds, you need to act now. The solution is to fund a self-directed IRA with gold and silver. Put your retirement money beyond the reach of government financiers today by calling 1-866-323-5665. Safe Grow IRAs are just a phone call away. That's 1-866-323-5665. Mike or Jim at Midas Resources can help you protect your retirement nest egg. Get informed and ask for our free report on the unseen fallout of the Fannie Freddie rescue. Call 1-866-323-5665.
What will happen when the grocery stores are empty? What are you going to do once your food is gone? What will you do when the dollar is worthless and your family needs to eat? Growing your own food is the only way to have real self-sufficiency and peace of mind. GetSeeds.net is offering an amazing special on 100 different varieties of heirloom vegetable seeds with a complete range of crops. That's 100 packets of non-hybrid seeds for only $49 with free shipping. You will have the comfort of knowing that you are truly prepared. These affordable prices are our way to pay it forward. So in turn, GetSeeds.net asks you to share these seeds of life with the less fortunate. Go to GetSeeds.net and get 100 seed packets for only $49 with free shipping. Or call 877-394-6657. That's 877-394-6657. Or go to GetSeeds.net.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. Toll-free number is 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's 800-259-9231, and it's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com, the features we give away. So enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. You like this show, you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can become a Free Talk Live amplifier over at amp.freetalklive.com, where you can take $3 a month, send it over to us, and we take that money and reinvest it into the show, getting on more radio stations around the country, bringing more internet listeners on board as well, and exposing new people to the ideas of freedom. So if that's valuable to you, it's worth $3 a month, go to amp.freetalklive.com, get signed up, get access to perks like the Amp-only call-in lines, chat room forum, and more. All the details await you at amp.freetalklive.com. Just a few more details on this case, which is really sad, out of the Columbus area. Dispatch.com reporting on a OSU report, OSU being the Ohio State University College of Veterinary Medicine. They had been teamed up for 9 years with the local dog shelter, the government-run shelter, the animal shelter. And they've finally broken off their 9-year-long relationship, after essentially citing abuse of the animals, citing them essentially hooking families up with dangerous animals and not telling them. There was a laundry list of things, mismanagement, just unsanitary conditions. It was awful sounding. And of course, the government's response is, well, we need to have an independent investigator come in here and take a look at these things, as though the OSU veterinarians aren't independent enough, the people who had actually been working in there. But not only were the vets upset, but also many former employees had complained about, as one woman said, I've never worked with people who are so rude and disrespectful.
This rude seems has cropped up in several of the complaints by these reports by employees after they've left.
Specifically about the management.
So it makes me think, in fact, that they are rather rude. And then knowing that it's a government bureaucracy, having dealt with government bureaucracies where they just don't care about what it is that you're there for, I see that.
Can you imagine how frustrating it must be to be somebody who goes into one of these, goes into this shelter looking for a job? Somebody who probably loves animals
likely
would be looking for a job there.
You're not going into one of these places. These are one of the places that sort of sell themselves with the "you get to work with animals" thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so the pay is going to be a little lower than it would be in some other government bureaucracy, because you get to work with animals. You get to show how much you care. So it has that fuzzy, warm fuzzy feeling to it.
Can you imagine how frustrating it would be though to come in and
right,
see all this?
They don't love the animals, and you're getting treated like crap at work.
Right, and you're just an employee, so what can you do about it? It's the administrators that are pulling all the strings, and you just have to do your best to minimize whatever damage it is these bureaucrats are wreaking, whatever havoc. As OSU prepared to pull out of the shelter in 2007, the then-dean of the veterinary college wrote the commissioners in town to suggest they hire an independent expert to evaluate shelter operations. One of the other folks said the county administrator phoned OSU but was told was told of none of the problems. OSU faculty members remember no such call, although they had expected one. Shelter employees and veterinarians told the dispatch that county officials had been dismissive of their complaints. In the middle of the maelstrom is Wehoff, an articulate, soft-spoken woman who loves dogs so much that her defenders say she's being attacked for heroically trying to save innocent lives. And I don't recall who Ms. Wehoff was, but anyway.
Isn't she one of the employees that was kicked to the curb?
Hard to say. But anyway, she has single-handedly changed the way the homeless animals are managed, taking the shelter from a place of routine euthanasia of the masses to a caring and humane environment, said the director of Friends of the Shelter. So obviously she sounds like an administrator. That nonprofit group, which asks for donations on the shelter's website, last year raised over $202,000 for a discretionary fund to provide medical and private boarding expenses for shelter dogs. This creative way of sparing taxpayers' bills to save dogs that might otherwise be euthanized is a credit to her credibility with rescue groups. She's also praised for expanding a program to set up foster homes for shelter dogs.
I don't think there's any plus to not euthanizing a dog and then treating it worse than an animal.
I'm with you there. She's also praised for pushing low-cost community spay and neuter programs and adding education to the enforcement arm of the shelter, animal control. Owners get friendly counseling from wardens on how to properly care for their dogs, preventing the animals from suffering or being seized. She said, before, we were the Gestapo. She landed her job after two directors left within a year. She says she's fighting the herd mentality to less discriminately thin out the dogs rather than taking the time to get to know each dog and give it a chance. So according to her, she's just a hero. However, her critics, including the OSU vets, charged she's killing dogs with kindness. A refusal to euthanize sick or dangerous dogs has overcrowded the shelter, they say, spreading stress and germs, sickening otherwise healthy and adoptable animals, and putting people and pets in the community at risk. Now, look, I understand why there's a set of these people out there that they're the no-kill shelter types. I understand. I mean, dogs and cats sure are cute, and sure, wouldn't it be nice if they could all get adopted out to nice families and live long, happy, healthy lives? That'd be great.
Yeah.
But the reality is that's just not how it is. It's just not a true statement that all of these dogs and cats can be adopted out. And if you're keeping them alive and it's spreading diseases, you're doing more damage.
It's unrealistic. And the other thing is, in the last 18 months, a lot because of all the home foreclosures, a lot more dogs are ending up in animal shelters because people have to abandon their homes. They leave they leave Fido in the yard or in the house, and they leave them behind, which is terrible.
It's awful.
But perfectly good dogs too, wonderful dogs, who family dogs. They just couldn't take them with them. They're broke. They're destitute. And they couldn't take the dog with them, so they left the dog behind. And these dogs end up in animal shelters, and a lot of the animal shelters are overflowing with these dogs now.
You know, I don't know if it was you, Mark, that made this point before, if it was just Julia and I having a private conversation, but the suggestion was that having a shelter that actually euthanizes animals could encourage more adoptions. I mean, if you think about it, if you're going in to adopt an animal from a shelter and you know that it's been there for X amount of time, and, you know, let's say 3 years. Let's say they keep them for 2 or 3 years before they euthanize them or something like that.
I've seen a lot of them, the animal control often will give them 30 days.
Whatever the amount of time is, you know, they're given this amount of time, and the people that are coming in there are told, well, so-and-so's been here since 2006, and we're going to have to put her down next month. That could actually motivate somebody to say, you know, normally I wouldn't want to get a kitty that looks like that, but oh my gosh, I don't want to have this kitty get killed. I'll go ahead and adopt that kitty. And that could actually encourage other adoption, whereas that person might have walked out and said, if it was a no-kill shelter, they might have just said, oh, well, you know, if I leave, then they'll take care of the cat. So could it encourage more people to adopt?
I think it does. I don't know that it's the right sort of encouragement that people need. I think
but the fact is, you're running out of room. You've got to do something.
Yeah.
It must be harder to get people to adopt these days, too.
Why do you think that is?
Because of economic conditions, yeah.
Maybe the case. On September 28th, some of the doctors wrote commissioners. One of them, Dr. Melinda Holland, served as medical director of the shelter for 6 months and then quit in 2007. She said, I couldn't prevent animal suffering or protect the public. It just gives you nightmares. It's a time bomb. The doctors wrote the commissioners outlining in unsparing terms their observations from a combined 5 years of working at the shelter. They wrote that we've witnessed ongoing practices that result in reckless public endangerment and increased animal suffering. They warn the public is being exposed to diseases that can jump from animals to people, as well as dangerous dogs that are being adopted out and put the county at risk of lawsuits, not to mention people getting hurt.
This is the part about the not euthanizing that bothers me the most. Look, if it's a dangerous dog, what are you going to do with it?
They're going to kill the damn dog when it bites somebody, aren't they?
Right. It is biting. Not necessarily.
Apparently not.
It can take a while. When the city is in charge of euthanizing the animals, and then there's a bureaucrat there that doesn't want to euthanize animals, then they'll figure out ways not to do it. So it's a mess. And the fact is, dogs that bite need to be euthanized. There probably are people out there that can take the right dog that has that bites people and turn it into a good dog. However, the average person cannot. And the average person is the one who's going and adopting these dogs, especially if they're not being told.
So the deputy Franklin County administrator who's been investigating the complaints against Ms. Wehoff says he's found no substantive proof of record tampering or poor management. Lisa is a very dedicated employee, he said. Wehoff appears stunned last week by the complaints against her. She says, blah, 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 we're not putting dogs or people in jeopardy. We're doing a good job. So if you ask the government people, everything's fine at the shelter. No problems over here. Our independent investigator says...
Well, the college isn't leaving for no reason at all.
The college was left after 9 years of trying to change things there, and they've had it, and they've pulled out.
The veterinarians, these veterinarians, you can't get anybody who's, more qualified to give their opinion on this. They're saying that there's all kinds of problems, and nobody's listening.
Oh, by the way,
the government, they don't have to listen.
The administrator, Ms. Wehoff, she's not a vet. She's a former nursing home administrator.
Oh, boy.
800-259-9231. There you have it, how the government handles animal shelters. And if you think it's significantly different where you are, well, maybe you just don't have the details. Remember, no incentive means crap job. Hour 2's coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
How confidential is email? Consider this fact. In a recent survey of IT professionals, over 35% admitted to snooping through their boss's email. It's just one of the many privacy risks that come from relying on this aging technology. If such risks bother you, visit privacyharbor.com, a secure alternative that keeps messages private and beyond the reach of eavesdroppers. privacyharbor.com, because normal email is not secure.
Wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
Facts.